Edge with April Mahoney Brains. It is you, I, and Tracy Tomlinson. We are here on The Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're going to talk about leadership. Tracy is a leadership consultant because, as she clearly stated to me, you cannot lead others if you don't know how to lead yourself. And you cannot be a good leader if you have never learned how to follow. There's always going to be someone ahead of you, and there's always going to be someone behind you. But how do we balance? How do we set the course to navigate a successful journey in business, our personal life, our physical health, our mental health? So Tracy is going to help us navigate the storm. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Tracy?
Thank you so much, April. I am very well, thank you. And I'm so pleased to be here with you and all your listeners, all the brains here listening on the show.
Well, we are ready to get tuned up and get turned on. A lot of people that have, in one form or another, talked about leadership. But what I like is each individual's person's perception, definition, understanding, and the responsibilities to go along with that big $25 word of leader and leadership. Tell us a little bit about your leadership style and how you show up in the world.
Thank you, April. I feel my leadership style is inclusive. I feel like there is every person has a piece of gold inside them. Most people haven't mined for that gold, so they haven't yet necessarily found it. So therefore, they're not shining or not shining as brightly as they'd like. Or a diamond is another great example. You know, it takes how long to make a diamond?
That's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. So to create a diamond, it's not a bed of roses every day. There is pressure involved. And I feel leadership is very largely about bringing out the best in ourselves first so that we can then bring our A game to the fore in leading others. And very often I come from the perspective of energy and intuition. So if our energy is off or we have things that we haven't healed in our aura, it will come across in our leadership. And first of all, it comes across with us. So if we can get ourselves to a perspective where we've got a solid platform on our own and we can self-lead ourselves in our life, like we feel like we're empowered and we're successful in our own right, then we can start to lead others. What I see a lot is people being given leadership opportunities or stepping up into leadership opportunities, and then all the cracks start to show. The things, you know, all your foibles, all your weaknesses are right in your face. It can be very threatening and quite challenging. And very often people don't know what to do at that point. They wanted the rise in leadership. They wanted to step up. They wanted more responsibility. They want to take care of people, et cetera. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with a learning curve and some challenges. So then often what we have to do is take a step back and go, okay, what have I not healed within myself? Mm-hmm. Where is my energy at? Mm-hmm. What tools and techniques do I have in my toolkit, if any, to actually fulfill me being happy and solid, and then me in various relationships, partnerships, accountabilities, being solid and being able to contribute to the best of our ability and bring out the best in others.
Well, you know, and that's big in the employment arena now in corporate America, is that when people go for an interview, it cracks me up how they say, well, in 5 years, where do you see yourself? Well, I'm going to head the department and I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. They fail to realize that the person is interviewing you is already in that position. So you're moving them out instead of coming to the table as I'm an independent contributor. This is what I know. This is what I've learned. This is what I want to pour in others. This is the value that I seek in others. I'm a good listener. You know, I know how to delegate. These are key elements and traits to a strong leader. I remember one of my former employers telling me one time, he says, April, you are a dynamic leader. He says, you are going to be one of those bridges that carries other people safely across. And when he said that, that just touched my heart. I was
Yes.
like, that was better than getting a day off and some pay.
Yeah. Well,
Because
you
he
need to
saw
care about
something
other
in me.
people.
Yeah, he saw something in me that, you know, I didn't recognize in myself. He saw that leadership quality. Tell us a little bit about your history. Where, you know, where did you start your journey in leadership and, you know, your corporate world or before you became an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I worked in corporate straight out of university in marketing and product management. Then I traveled overseas and did similar in London in the telecommunications and the mobile phone industry. And after some time, I came back to Australia and I'd just diversified. Australia was actually 5 years behind in the technology that I was developing in the UK. So I was accountable for writing the spec for the 3G system. This was before, this was a 1999, 2000 sort of timeframe. And Australia's major telecommunications carrier just hadn't developed that technology as yet. So I felt to move sideways, and I did. I moved sideways and just built up my level of experience in a number of different roles, including sales, project office management. And then I went out on my own as a business coach and started coaching people. Like you, I had someone similar in my life who basically told me that I could be an asset to any company, any team, or any project that I wanted to put my energy into. And that shocked me to hear that. And so then I took on business coaching, and then I was poached by one of the world's largest self-development organizations and went to work for them. I thought I'd only do it for a year, but they had bigger plans for me. But what I found out on that discovery and that journey, which was an extraordinary period of my life, I think I was there for about 14 months, I had over 12,000 transformational conversations with clients in that period alone. Yeah, just in that short time frame. So it was, yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. But at the same time, my intuition was kicking in. And I was getting a gut feel about something or a knowing about something, and I would verbalize it. And people would say, your feelings don't matter. Don't worry about your feelings. Like, that's not part of this. And it didn't, what I discovered and learned was that it didn't fit within the framework, the intellectual framework of the personal development industry as such. I mean, I looked around for years. I moved on from that, and I spent over 4 years at one point in my life looking for the people or organization that could teach me this. And I think the moment where it really came home to me was my intuition had been on rails for I can't remember how long. And then I had this experience one day where I was going to a meeting. I was running my own business at the time. I got to the end of the driveway. I'm in the car, and I would turn right to head off to my meeting. And I just got this message to turn left, like just this intuitive download, go left. And I'm like, why would I want to go left? I will be late for my meeting. And the last thing I wanted to do was be late.
Right.
But something inside me had me go, I'm going to heed this message. So I did. I turned up to my meeting 10 minutes early, not 10 minutes late. There was a 20-minute difference in what I thought from my intellect was going to happen. Had my meeting, came back to the home office, and I bumped into one of the next door neighbors that afternoon, and he said to me, oh, did you get caught in the 3-hour traffic jam this morning when the railway gates were down and stuck? And I looked at him and I said, oh, no, I didn't. And in that moment, I knew the power of, let's call it my intuition for want of a better word. I knew the power of it. And I knew that I was getting messages on a regular basis, and they were for my benefit because sometimes I was listening, sometimes I wasn't listening to it, perhaps, you know, and sometimes they were stronger, and it was just incredible. So that really sent me on a trajectory of, wow, this is amazing. And then it got to a point where one day in my life, it's like the tap started to turn off and I started to get fewer messages. And I'm like, I can't have this.
Right. I'm on a roll now. Are you kidding me?
I was on rails. I was like, I want this. I don't want it to stop or slow down. And then I was really searching for who can teach me this? How do I learn about this? I want this in my life. I don't want to lose it. It's really important to me. It's so valuable in every aspect of my life. It wouldn't matter whether it was career or family or relationships, anything.
Well, you know, women innately have a strong intuition. And a lot of times people don't listen to that. You know, the fight or flight when you are in a dangerous situation. Or when you're looking at that, you know, that person that you're going to date and you're saying, I'm seeing some red flags. Don't listen to it. Or when you go to make a financial investment or when you go to start that business. But what we have to do is sometimes we have to feel the fear yet do it anyway.
Yeah.
Our intuition is a great way of, you know, framing what we need to do, but you have to step into some of these challenging opportunities to see if it is really worth it, or you've already got a signal to be cautious. You know that going in.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, that you can't be curious and figure out what it is. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think 2 points on that. I hear a lot that women's intuition and that women are very good at this. And yes, often women are. And I think the world's changing because my last 5 or 6 new clients to come on board are all men. They're all men. And I'm thinking, why is this happening? Because the world is waking up. The world is changing. And men are starting to see that they want to grow and develop themselves too. Or they're already feeling and their intuition is already in play and they find me because I can take them to a whole other level. So I think that's the one thing I'd love, you know, the audience to hear today. It doesn't exclude men. And, you know, I look at some greats like Steve Jobs was very in his feelings or intuition.
Right.
Great leader. You know, I look at Richard Branson,
right.
You know, and there's lots of others that they talk about and credit their intuition as being an important aspect of their success in leadership. So I think that's really important. The other aspect of what you were asking about, and now I've forgotten the second part of the question.
I forgot it too. That's all right. We can come back to that. But still engaging and being a risk taker. That's what we were talking about.
Oh, how do you know? Yes. Thank you. So the other thing is, and I think this puts a lot of people off when the subject of intuition comes up, because we all know that we get a gut feel. Every person has had a gut feel at some point in time. Some people get them every day. Some people get them when, you know, how often and however often they get them. And, you know, that there's a few factors that determine that. But we can all learn the skill set to increase that, to increase the flow of the tap, to actually learn how to turn the tap on. So that is a skill set that you can learn. And I teach that.
Let me park you there, right there for a second.
Yeah.
Number one, give us an example of turning on the tap.
So how I do that for my clients, there's a couple of key techniques that I teach people. So I was talking to a gentleman this morning. He learned the two techniques that I teach when people start working with me 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He's I said to him this morning, I said, oh, how have you gone? Have you been doing the techniques at all? And he said, oh, I've done them 4 times in the last week. I'm like, okay, that's a good start. My recommendation is twice a day. It takes about 2 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not a big time commitment we're looking at. It's just more a habit than anything
Right.
else.
A
So
positive.
he's done it. Yeah. So he's done it 4 times in the last week. And then at the very end of our session, I reviewed the techniques with him. He said to me, oh, I'm preparing for a big bridge tournament. He plays bridge in his spare time. I'm preparing for a bridge tournament because since I've started using these techniques over the last 3 weeks, now I'm winning. I'm getting first, second, or third in all my bridge games. And now I'm going to travel interstate to be in a tournament because I'm doing so well with my bridge. So just by learning a couple of techniques, he hasn't even done the normal, like I normally do a 2 hour blockage release session with someone where we ascertain the biggest block that you've got holding you back this lifetime and we heal that. He hasn't even done that yet. He's already getting results.
Well, what I'm trying to drill down to is this more mindset work? Is this spiritual meditation? Is it rituals? Is it affirmations? Not going into the intellectual property, or is it a combination of all of these things? Because we have to, number one, be disciplined, and we have to be committed. Like you said, you told him twice a day, dude, takes 10, 20 minutes, but being committed, could you imagine where he would be if he was doing that and he's only done it 4 times in the last few weeks? So when people give you suggestions, it's like example of a diet, or I call them livets. They say, okay, do this for 5 weeks and watch the results. They'll do it for 5 days. We have to be consistent. How do you keep your clients on track and encourage them to stay committed? Well, I mean, I know this gentleman here, you reviewed the techniques and encouraged him to do that, but is there another kick in the pants that you can give them that really says, look, if you want the results that you've come to me for, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, so a couple of things. Coming back to the techniques, and clearly I'm talking about them, and it's easier for me to just teach people and for them to experience them for themselves. And clearly we can't do that today. But there are a combination that these techniques are tried and true. I mean, we're talking going back 100 plus years. It's not something I've made up. My mentors have been doing this for 40 plus years. Their mentors were doing it for, 50, 60 plus years. We're talking a number of generations here. It's not just something that came up, in the last 5 minutes. And they are there. You could say a lot of people say that they are spiritual in as much as one of them is a meditation style technique. Another one is like a little, I don't even know how to explain it. It's an energy clearing technique. It clears three of your chakras. It's a little movement with a few words that goes along with it. You can do that in anywhere from 5 seconds to 2 minutes. You can do it without doing the action. You can do it while you're sitting in the car. It's just easy, and it uses the principles of energy, which, without going into it too much, include you are an energetic being and you have an aura. That's the reality of it. Now, most of us don't walk around and see our aura, so we forget about it. We forget that we're an energy being. We forget that we're a soul. We go out there in life and we live all the roles that we live. We put on all the hats that we put on as we go throughout our day, forgetting that first and
Hats,
foremost, I'm a soul.
but also mask, because we've got people that live in the imposter syndrome. We've got people that live in the overachiever. We've got the people that live in the perfectionist wheelhouse. All of these things seem attractive, seem alluring, but they also can lead to a place of insecurity, of not feeling good enough or not matching up, or the challenge is too great. or I'm not worthy. So with all of these other things, we're pushing ahead with this energy work and this, checking in with our intuition, but managing those self-doubts. How do we create a balance?
Oh, you're giving me 10 questions in one. I love it. There's so much juice here. So I'm going to also come back to the question that you asked me about how do I keep clients on track?
Okay.
So when they start doing this work, it's like a motivation bubbles up from within, an inspiration bubbles up from within. It is not my job to motivate them. It is not my job to motivate or take care of anyone. Sure, if clients work with me, I do my 50%, they do their 50%, and I will do all I can for them to get great results. As long as I do my job, they'll get great results.
Right.
I've never had a customer complain in all the time that I've been doing this, which is using these specific techniques over 11 years now, that they didn't get great results. Most of the time, it's the opposite. They're actually gobsmacked at how effective this is because we're working with energy, not the intellect.
Right.
And most of the human planet operates on the intellect. So it's not my job to keep them on track. But yes, I have vehicles to assist with that. I have weekly calls that my clients can jump on. Now, they'll jump on it or they won't jump on it. You know what I mean? They can do courses and workshops if they want to jump in and do a course, once a month for 4 hours kind of thing to raise their level of consciousness, that's available to them. I've got a newsletter. I'm starting a podcast so they can tap into different things very easily and quickly to help them. You know, we've got my mentors have written books, so I refer people to buy the book. You know, sometimes all you have to do is open the book and read one line and it just gives you what you need that day.
Exactly.
So I'm all about, it's not my job to keep people on track, but with these tools and techniques, people become self-managing and self-led.
Right.
And that is where the sweet spot is because that's when people start to shine. Their intuition, a lot of people don't trust it because they don't know how to unpack it or discern it. So you might have the gut feel is a pretty obvious one. You usually know yes or no, the gut. But I do have people saying to me, I'm just not sure, either because we don't trust it or because we need more facts. So in a lot of areas of our life, we're making decisions, we need more information before we can be clear and before we can feel that we're making the right decision for ourselves. You can be in a scenario where everybody around you disagrees with you and thinks you should do A, and your intuition or your gut and your every part of your being says you should do B. And sometimes we get too analytical in that and we get caught up in our head.
Yeah,
and then we get confused and we don't know what to do.
Yeah, or this is another thing. After we overthink it, then we look to others for validation.
Yes.
I need, Tracy or April to stamp it. What do you think? And this is cracks me up. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And then they go back to the original idea. And then what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Indecisiveness, I guess, is my pet peeve. Either yes, no. Sometimes there's a maybe, but you can't live in the maybe.
No. So we teach people to unpack that gut feel that there's actually four aspects. There's four ways that we get messages, and it's through your prophetic gift, your visionary gift, your intuitive gift, or your feeling gift. So we all are able to access all four of those. And most people just call that your intuition, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Right.
And when you know how to access those and you can, it's a whole communication system in itself. When you learn that technique, then you get a feeling about something and you're like, I need more facts. I need more information on this. I'm not clear yet. We teach you how to get a what, a when, a where, and a why on whatever that question is that you have. for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you answer that question, then you are able to pour authentically into others. That's another word that people love. Oh, your authentic self. Well, sometimes you got to send your representative, Tracy, because you got to feel it out. You got to say, look, do I want to be as a leader, for example, do I really want to come in and be so open and transparent from the onset with my group? Because I could be vulnerable. Someone could take advantage of that. They're seeing my sweet spot. Or do I proceed with caution and assess the group and then look at how I can strategically place these individuals to make it, to make this a winning team? I mean, there's some people that want to hold court. They want to have their say at the table. There's other people that are more docile. There are other people that are very controlling and want to take the lead and want to take on responsibility. There's others that just want to be in a support role. So as a leader, you have to go in, it's like a chessboard. You have to really go in and strategically look at who these individuals are, get to know a little bit about them before you start delegating responsibility. It may be something that they're not good at. And everybody brings something to the table. If it's nothing but the coffee.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, everybody brings
absolutely
value. So
when it takes a team to succeed.
So you've got a CEO at the top and he's, you know, walking in, this is his first go run, and he's looking at the board. What are some of the things that you would suggest to him as a leader, as I've done, to assess his team and strategically place them to create wins?
Well, I don't even start there. I don't assume anything. The question is, what are your weaknesses? What are your blocks? And where are you struggling? Like, what do you have challenges with? Because before they got into that role, they were doing something else. And in that something else, they had weaknesses and challenges. So we all have blocks. It doesn't matter whether you're the CEO or whether you're the janitor. Everybody has blocks. And the process that I take people through heals those blocks. And people, when they learn these techniques and this communication system, they are able to make decisions for themselves. So they are able to strategize with their intuition. So you were talking before, do you go into the meeting and do you send someone else or do you go yourself? Mm-hmm. That's a decision to make. You can make that using your intuition, knowing that it's the right decision for you. Mm-hmm. You can know what the strategy is for the meeting using your intuition before you go into that meeting. Mm-hmm. You can know what the strategy is for a potential client, for a phone call, for a conversation, for a relationship. You can apply this to anything and everything. And one of the things that this system does is it makes decision-making easy. I've got an 80-year-old client and she has stopped having her 2 p.m. nap because, yeah,
stopped. I love a nap.
Me too. She has stopped having her 2 p.m. nap because she's got so much energy now. And she said, it just makes decision-making is just so easy because she's clear and concise and she can go it. And when she needs to stop and get more information, she can just stop, take a few minutes out and go, right, okay, so I'm going there now. And that's one of the beauties of being able to unpack what is that gut feel telling me. And to be able to incorporate that intuition, so to speak, whether it's through your prophecy, vision, intuition or feeling gift, into your life on a daily basis.
Now, two questions. The first one is trust.
Yes.
We can trust ourselves, but learning to trust others. And the word trust is contingent upon, if you do X, Y, Z, then I trust you. If you fall in line, then I trust you. If you don't betray me, then I trust you. There's a lot of, one sidedness and the word trust.
Yeah.
And the second thing, the second question is, how do we reward and recognize employees? Or, you know, we're talking about leadership, and I'm putting it in a business context, but leadership in your home, leadership among the PTA, you know, leadership mentoring your children. All these are leadership roles. It's not just
absolutely,
job.
Absolutely.
So how do we reward and recognize and value others that we have trusted, that we trust, and allow them to be great leaders and mentor them as well?
Yeah. So I'll handle that in two parts. One is, how do we trust others? Mm-hmm. When you're working with your intuition, you know.
Okay.
You know. You've taken the time out to check in with yourself, and you know whether you can trust someone or not. I mean, most people know how to read energy. We do it naturally anyway. The question is, how do you turn the level up on that? How do you turn the tap on up on that? When we first met, I trusted you.
And, you know, like you said, you trusted me, and I appreciate that. You had a gut feeling.
Yeah, we don't, we know. And sometimes we don't acknowledge that we know. And then there are the times when we don't know. So that's where the gap is formed. And so obviously you can take that gap and reduce it to zero by using the tools and techniques that I take. So the other thing is, sometimes we need to lose the need to control everything.
Thank you.
Sometimes we just need to trust ourselves.
Can you say that again so the people in the back of the room can hear you?
Sometimes we need to just let go of the need to control everything. We can't control everyone else around us. We can just be the best version of ourselves at any point in time. So when we're focused on our energy, our strengths, then we bring our A game to the fore. When we know what our weaknesses are, we're humble enough to admit them to ourselves. You don't have to shout them out to the world, but you need to know them for yourself. Otherwise, you know, like, what are you playing at, really? Mm-hmm. We're all human. We all have blocks. We all have weaknesses that we're working on. So, yeah, releasing and just being detached, being able to relax, is one of the qualities of really great leaders, because their people then feel relaxed. If you're not relaxed as a leader, your people feel it.
Right.
And they do not like it. And it comes across for them as pressure.
Right.
And people do not like to work in pressured situations.
They don't.
Now, you talked about rewarding and recognizing people. Again, this is reading energy. So the four energetic types: prophetic, visionary, intuitive, feeler, they will all want to be recognized differently.
Right.
There will be some people that would prefer to be recognized one-on-one personally. And for them, there is nothing worse than being recognized in front of the whole team.
Right.
For others, they want to be recognized in front of the whole team. That is what's going to empower them. You know, for some, an action might be what does it, or a gift, or some kind of special little something.
Mm-hmm. Attaboy. We call them attaboys. Oh, that's, you know, an attaboy or acknowledgement. Again, they want, and then some people want, like you say, just want to stay under the radar. Just, you know, just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do and tell me that I've done a good job. But that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because it's for the whole. The corporate structure.
And your attitude as a leader, people feel.
Yeah, they do.
So if you are just hammering people, they feel that.
Mm-hmm.
If you are really considered, you appreciate who they are, you appreciate what they bring to the table, you appreciate that they're struggling with whatever they're struggling with as well, they feel that, you know. So people feel even when we don't communicate with words. Like, our attitude is so important. I have examples firsthand and with clients of, you know, someone having an attitude about someone else in a meeting, and it's very obvious. You know, that person goes down. They're not empowered. They don't come up. The best of them doesn't come to the fore. Now, when that person is not in the meeting, guess what happens? The other person shines. You know? So our attitudes and our emotions are, they all hold energy.
Right.
So yes, the spoken word is very important, but every thought and action we take is important as well.
Absolutely. It dictates who we are. Well, you have been such a wealth of information, Tracy. I just have got such an insight on what leadership is now, especially here in the U.S. And I'm sure after COVID around the world, the great resignation. Nobody wants to go back to a brick and mortar. Everybody wants to start their own business, work from home, you know, require less of the luxuries just to be able to stabilize and have some sort of good mental health. Your mental health is key. Being able to step back, extract, delegate is also leadership skills. And I'd love for my brains to contact you, work with you, have you come in for, you know, to work with their team, work with them individually. Please tell my guests how to get in contact with you and get more information.
Thank you, April. Would love to. So number one, you can go to my website, which is www.tracytomlinson.com. And I'll just go through the spelling of that. TracyTomlinson.com. And there's a few resources there. One resource is the 7 Steps to Success Blueprint. It's a very brief document, but it gives people an overview of, well, this is where you can start. These are some of the things that you can start doing to shift your energy and bring up your leadership within yourself. I also have there an intuitive insights community, and I put resources. I make myself available to this community for a Q&A once a week. I take them through and guide them through the techniques if they need a refresher once a week. So I'm online providing them with face-to-face me time, but I'm also providing them with resources via email as well, and information about events and things coming up. And then, of course, if someone has a question, they can also do that from my homepage as well and just pop their details in, send me a question, and I can either respond or we can hook up for a conversation.
Brains, I want you to take advantage of this. This is on the cutting edge. That's why you come to the edge. This is where people are going. This is what they're doing. This is what they need. This is how we mold. This is how we mentor the next generation. Okay? We can't do what we've done 20 years ago. Technology, artificial intelligence, robotics, the environment, everything is changing at warp speed. It's going so fast. And what we need to do is to keep our pulse on the wrist of individuals that are really extending themselves, trying to make a difference. What is important to them? What we think is important to us at 61 may not be important to the people that are 30. And good leadership is good listening skills. So being able to carve out that niche, like she said, and strategically place people using these 4 pillars. Looking at their gifts, looking at your intuition, following your insight. These are key tools that all leaders need to incorporate. It's not just hitting them over the hammer and delegating and just saying, hey, this is what you're going to do. You've got to have input. You've got to have input because people's needs are different in your home, in your business, your personal life, your relationships. Everything requires leadership. And Tracy, you are at the top of that. Thank you so much for being here on the edge.
Thank you.
Put all of her information in the back of the interview so that you can reach out and contact her. Please leave a comment. There's something you don't understand, you need more clarity on, more insight. Maybe there's something that you can add to the conversation, or sometimes we can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable. But that lends, we can pull
Yes.
that lens to a conversation, right? So
Absolutely. And
I
of
want
course, I'm on socials too. So I'm on LinkedIn. People can find me there and they can find me on Facebook, etc. So happy to engage with your listeners on those platforms as well.
Well, Braze, I want you to take a look at that. Go in, love, like, share, and subscribe right here. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Follow me, follow Tracy, ask, inquire, be inquisitive, and follow your intuition. Thank you so much, Tracy. You've been a great guest.
Thank you, April. It's been an absolute pleasure. And yeah, I'm really grateful for the opportunity.
Bye, Braze. Have a good day.